One of the shailas that comes up very commonly this time of year, especially over the summertime, a lot of people are traveling and they're taking trips and they're staying in a variety of hotels as they're traveling. And one of the things that a Jew often looks for in a hotel is a free continental breakfast, because it's a money saver. You can have the cereal is always kosher, the milk is always kosher, so it's something that that is very useful. However, the shaila that comes up is that they often have, we know that we're not allowed to eat the sausages, we know we're not allowed to eat the hot food, but there is in many of these hotels a waffle maker where they have a big canister where you pour out a cup full of batter and then you pour it into the waffle maker, you turn it over, wait a few seconds, turn it over again, and then you have a perfectly delicious, very, very sweet waffle. So the question is, if the batter has a hashkach on it, which it almost always does, the machine that has the batter in it almost always has an OU on it, so are you allowed to use that waffle maker in the hotel and have waffles on for breakfast as one is traveling? Now, this is an important shaila. There are three issues that one needs to deal with. Issue number one is, can you actually assume that the batter is kosher just because it says that there, you know, that the batter that's in that machine is from a particular company? Do you know that that's necessarily what they used on that day? Issue number two is it a violation of Bishul Akum? Because non-Jews have been using that waffle maker also, and if they've been cooking something in that waffle maker, maybe that trafes up the machine, and therefore you can't use it because of Bishul Akum. And issue number three is, can you assume that other customers, that other people who stayed at that hotel, did not put anything else other than that batter in those machines? Maybe, you know, people get creative when they're on vacation. Maybe someone wanted a bacon waffle and decided to take a couple of strips of bacon and put it in his waffle. So can you make an assumption that it's kosher? So let's take one issue at a time, not in the order that I just said it. Let's start with Bishul Akum first. So first of all, in Bishul Akum in general, the very last si'if in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel in Yaradeya is about Kalim that Bishul Akum happened in. And it is a Machlokas Rishonim. The Rashba is of the opinion that any food that's subject to Bishul Akum is Asr, and therefore trafes up the Kalim as well. It's like a Cheftza of Macholos Asuras, is the way they like to say it over, that it therefore trafes up the Kalim as well. The Ra'ah disagrees and holds that it doesn't trafe up Kalim. Bishul Akum, you can't eat the food. That's where there's a concern of Chasnus. That's where there's a concern of getting too close. No one's going to have the food that was cooked that by a Jew in a kli that a non-Jew had used previously and come to chasnus on account of that, and therefore the Ra'ah thought it's not a problem. How do we paskin Shulchan Aruch? So Shulchan Aruch paskins again in the very last si'if in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel that he quotes both shitos. He quotes the Rashba as the Stam and then the Ra'ah as the Yesh Omrim. Based on the Kalei Psak, it seems that the Shulchan Aruch is machmir, that one has to be machmir about the kelim of Bishul Akum. However, Shulchan Aruch says, since this is not really me'ikar adin, it's ein le'isr zeh Ikur bida oraisa, we can take certain leniencies on the halachos of kashering kelim. So whereas normally kli cheres you would not be able to kasher at all, you can rely on hagala gimel pa'amim, do hagala three times on a kli cheres that Bishul Akum happened in. Now even if we assume like the more machmir opinion, which we do, like the Rashba, what if the food was already made? So the Shach writes in Yaradeya, in Siman Kuf Tezvav, that the taste of Bishul Akum in Kuf Yud Gimel, actually in the taste of Bishul Akum is batel barov. Tam of Bishul Akum is batel barov. So whatever tam there is might be batel in the food that you then made in that kli. That's if b'diavad, that it was already done. It's also not agreed upon by everybody. The Vilna Gaon assumes that you require shishim for Bishul Akum as well. But then the question becomes, are waffles even Bishul Akum to begin with? First, in order for something to be subject to Bishul Akum, it needs to be, the very first sif in Ilchus Bishul Akum is, it needs to be ola al shulchan melachim. It needs to be something that would be served al shulchan melachim. So where do waffles fit? So you would imagine if it's a fancy breakfast, you'd expect waffles. If it's a not fancy breakfast, you would not expect waffles. But who makes fancy breakfasts? Fancy things are fancy dinners, unless it's a dessert food, right? A waffle, a Belgian waffle or something for dessert. It's iffy whether this is considered something that is ola al shulchan melachim. My bar mitzvah was a brunch. I remember if we had waffles, but sometimes it'll be a bar mitzvah, a bris, or something like that, and there will be waffles there. So that's a shaila, at least, whether it's ola al shulchan melachim. But it's also not clear whether waffles are bishul or pas. If it's pas akum, it may be much less of a shayla, much less of an issue. It could be that pas akum doesn't treif up kalim. So if that's the case, how do you define what's called bishul, what's called pas? So the Shach writes in Simkuf Yudbeis in Yerodeah that anything that's a blila raka, that it's a soft batter, it's a loose batter, something that pours, is going to be labeled as bishul and not as pas. However, the Aruch HaShulchan and others, and I saw in Chalkas B'Yamin, he assumes, like the Aruch HaShulchan and others, that in order for it to be called bishul akum, it not only has to be a soft batter, but also has to be cooked in a liquid medium, like in oil or something like donuts are made in oil or something like that. But if it is soft batter, but it's cooked, not in a liquid medium, you just put on a hot skillet, that would qualify as pas and not bishul. If that's the case, then you do not have a concern of the kalim being treif because of bishul akum. So what emerges is that there are a lot of leniencies that you could perhaps put together. First of all, some rishonim are mekel in terms of kalim. Second of all, maybe it's not ola al shulchan melachim. Third, maybe it's really pas. Also, could be that the waffle maker kashers itself out if you rely on Kabbalah Kachbalto. Certainly, you wouldn't want to normally rely on that. But if you run it through, maybe you could. That's another sniff, at least lahakel, as far as the bishul akum. What about assuming that everything that's in there, that the batter is actually what they say it is? So it seems that the practice is to assume that when you're dealing with a major company like a hotel chain that has contracts with food suppliers, that if they say that they're using it and the supplier is the one, you could see on the waffle maker it actually has the name of the waffle company, they're clearly the ones that are supplying all of the equipment, that they would not break that contract. It would obviously be a breach of that contract to use something else other than what they're using. This is the standard practice when it comes to like ice cream stores and the like. If you have a national chain where you know that the flavor of ice cream that they're serving is a kosher ice cream, even if the hashkacha in the store is either subpar or non-existent, so those flavors, usually the assumption is that certainly when a person is traveling, that they can rely on buying those flavors of ice cream that they know to be kosher, assuming that all the kalim are clean that are used to scoop out that ice cream. So you'd have a similar assumption over here. However, what about the possibility that another guest in the hotel might have put something not kosher in the waffle maker as he's trying to make different mixtures or whatever people get? Children very often are making the waffles. Sometimes they'll have a sign, children should stay away from it because it's very hot, but you know, people don't always listen to signs. So the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeah, Simen Kuf Yud Ches Si'if Yud Beis, tells us Yesh Lahachmir Shalol Aniach Kederos Eitzel Hashvachos Kishein Yisrael Bebayis, that you can't leave utensils unattended with your shivcha when there's no Jew around, because she might be cooking something not kosher in those kalim. That in general there is this concern that if you leave kalim that are actually cooking things, and even though you think it's only kosher things that are being cooked in those kalim, people might, non-Jew might put something not kosher in the kalim. Someone came over to me and told me, Rabbi, you got nothing to worry about. I was at a hotel. It had a sign next to it, do not put anything but the batter in the waffle maker. I said, then you really have something to worry about, because what prompted that sign? Obviously, people were doing that, and that's why they felt that they needed to make such a sign. Shulchan Aruch paskins, though, that stam kelim einam b'nei yomin in some kufchav beis, and the assumption is that average kelim had not been used in the last 24 hours, so whatever tam is there is a tam pagum, and wouldn't make the food not kosher b'diavad once it's already made. But nevertheless, l'chachila, you're not allowed to use a kli that has trefa blios in it, even if the blios are already pagum. The Adafrayim, commenting on the Ramah and Simkuf Chafbei, says that if you're traveling on the road, that's assumed to be shasadcha k'diavadami, and that we assume is like a situation of b'diavad. So it would seem that there is some basis for leniency, certainly if you rely on kashering it out a little bit, that there's some basis for leniency, especially since not particularly likely that people are putting in non-kosher food, but some basis for leniency does not necessarily mean that it's an advisable thing to do, because there are just a lot of sveikos over here. Probably it's different if you're traveling with children than if you're traveling alone, right? An adult maybe doesn't need these things as much as kids do. Kids don't need it either, usually. there are enough cereals. And you also have to be careful, I should point out, that you don't use the plates that the hotel has, unless it's paper plates. If they have dishes that they use, and you're going to put a hot waffle on those dishes, so you're not allowed to use kelim that have trefa blios, and those plates certainly have trefa blios in them. So bottom line, is there room for leniency? Perhaps. But is it advisable? It would seem that it's not the most advisable thing to do.